Good evening. Brother Marvin has requested that we read from Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Revelations 4. I really appreciated the message this morning by Brother Larry. He brought out some aspects in John 21 I really hadn't thought of before. Really appreciated that message. You know, sometimes it's not easy to love our fellow man like we should. I mean, it's not natural. In other words, it's not natural. But with the Holy Spirit, it is possible. I believe it says there in Romans 5:5 that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And He does make it possible to love Him. And sometimes it's easier, we think it's easier, at least I do, to love God, perhaps, than our fellow man or our brothers and sisters. But says one place, if we don't love our brother whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we haven't seen or who we, you know. And so that's... I hope we all took the message to heart this morning. It was a good message. Let's read from Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it, as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne sat was to look upon a like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. With this scripture on our mind, those that are able, let's kneel for prayer.
We say hello this evening, and we thank you for your prayers, and we pray that you would continue to pray as we go through the lesson here this evening. Some of you have already been led by the Spirit tonight to request some of those songs. The last one we sang, I believe, ties in very well. I'd like to give the title to the lesson this evening, A Glimpse at the Throne Room of God, that is described here in Revelation chapter 4. And some of Larry's thoughts this morning line up somewhat with some of the thoughts I have to share tonight. In Job 21, verse 15, Job asked a question: what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? He asked some questions there. We might answer that a little bit tonight. One sermon, one lesson cannot answer that totally. Who is the Almighty? I believe we sang in a song this morning, or it was read this morning, or here this weekend anyways, about it would not even the heavens can contain everything that would be written about him. So we cannot answer that all tonight. This is a Sunday school lesson that I taught, and you might wonder why I go to Revelation chapter 4 for a sermon, but I taught this as a Sunday school lesson in January of 2020, and it really spoke to me. I really was blessed by it, was encouraged, and it's been revised some, so I hope I can get the thoughts across tonight and that you're encouraged and maybe given a new enthusiasm about a Christian life. Revelations 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. There in that verse it says a door will be opened in heaven. And there's a number of accounts in Scripture where the door to heaven was opened and people from earth looked up into the heavens and they seen into heaven. One of them is in Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17, and I want to read them, so if you want to turn there, that is when Jesus was baptized. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There in verse 15, he said, Suffer it to be so now. That means you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but you will later. Jesus did not need to go be baptized. He did not need to die to self, die to his sinful nature because he didn't have any. He didn't need to be raised again with Christ because he is the Christ. He didn't need to do that. But later we realize he did it as an example. He did it for us to follow. Also in John 13:7, Jesus again, verses 13, 7, 8, and 9, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And I hope that in this next verse we have a little bit of this same attitude. Peter answered, saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He wanted to be clean, completely clean. He wanted to be totally surrendered to God. He wanted to be totally surrendered to Jesus. Another instance is in Acts chapter 7. There's quite a few verses here that I want to read. So Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 60. It's talking about Stephen here. You know, and Stephen had a pretty strong message here in this first verse. He said, Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. That's a pretty strong message. He goes on, Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them? Which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayer and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut down to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not these sins to their charges. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In these two instances, there was self-denial took place, and they seen into heaven. The door to heaven was opened unto them. Jesus denied himself, became man, humbled himself, was even baptized. Stephen here was preaching what he believed, and I believe God had laid on him to say. He denied himself. He could have said something that tickled the ears of the listeners and walked away. But no, he shared the message that God had laid upon his heart, and because of that, he was stoned. But before he was stoned, he seen the doors of heaven being opened. And here in Revelation, we know that John was on the Isle of Patmos. He had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and again, John had denied himself and was preaching and teaching, and because of that, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and he seen a vision into heaven. The heavens were opened unto him. And I believe if we would have an experience like that, our excitement, our enthusiasm of living a Christian life would be renewed when we'd see that kind of a place and understand what Jesus left to come here. So as we look at, as we go on here, the door was opened and there was a trump, a voice as of a trump. What do you think of when you think of a trumpet? You know, when I first think of that, I think of a sound that is undeniable. You know what it is. In old days, they used to use a trumpet to announce royalty. I believe it was a sound that was unmistakable for John. He knew that this was a voice with authority and could not be mistaken. In Matthew 24, verse 31, before we go there, let's go there. In Matthew 24, verse 31, And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There, when he sends his angels to gather the saints, they're going to come with a trumpet, and that will be heard around the world. No one will not hear that. Everybody is going to hear that. 1 Chronicles 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Again, a sound that is unmistakable. It is going to be announcing the coming of royalty, the coming of the king. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, we may hear different sounds, different times, and sometimes it sounds like something else that it's really not. Sounds can sometimes be confusing. This one will not. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. That's the first thing John heard when he saw this vision, when the door of heaven was opened unto him. I'd like us to use our imagination. Can you imagine John sitting on the Isle of Patmos in exile, maybe somewhat depressed, maybe discouraged? And this vision came to him and he heard this voice. And he knew that God was speaking to him. I think if we would have an experience like that, we would be excited. We would be very fearful with reverence, knowing who was speaking to us. So there in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. There's three of the prophets mention, describe the one that was sitting on the throne here that John's seen. Daniel 7, verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Try to imagine that. Draw a picture in your mind. That's quite an image. Was white as snow, had a head like wool, was like fiery flames, and his wheels as burning fire. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When I think of a train, what do you think of when you think of a train? What I think of is when a bride goes down the aisle and has a train following behind her. Is that what Isaiah was seeing in this vision? I don't know. But a train normally is following behind someone that is to be honored, to be noticed, to be glorified, maybe. In this case, to be glorified. Jeremiah 17:12 says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. So before we get into these other verses where the throne room is described a little more, imagine the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the creation, the God of gods, who has hair white as, or who has a garment that is white as snow, hair of his head like pure wool. The throne was like the fiery flames, and his wheels were as burning fire. As these prophets of old were told, and in some cases have visions of this same throne room that John is talking about here in Revelation 4 and in some other places, it is just one more reason to know that we will see as well when we see him. When we get there, this place isn't going to change. This throne room is going to be the same. God doesn't change. God's laws and commandments have not changed and will not. What he asks of us will not change either. What a magnificent place it must be. Now, that doesn't give us the reason as Christians to do what he says just so we can see this place, or to follow him, to love him just to see this place. But it's like this because he is holy. He is to be honored. He has all power. And this is just the way he made it. And there's many things here in Revelation 4 that I do not understand. But that's not what we're going after. What we're going after is to understand his magnificence a little bit. We can't understand that completely. To understand his glory and the honor and the worship that he deserves and our reverence for him. Revelation verse 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Now that's quite a colorful description of a throne. Well, not only the throne, but the one that sat on it as well was like jasper. What is jasper? Jasper is a transparent stone, glass-like, or a rock crystal. What do we get when we take a stone that is cut, that is clear, maybe a diamond, and we shine light through it? We end up with prisms all around the room, don't we? I think that could be a little bit of a glimpse or an idea of what it might have looked like. With the light of the Holy One shining through this stone, Jesus or God the Father sitting on the throne, he looks like a jasper and he is light. Can you imagine the beauty there? Sardine is red in color. What color was the blood of Jesus that flowed down the cross that we've been washed in? And it has made our garments white, as it talks about later in Revelations. And an emerald is green in color. You know, you look outside and most of the plants around us, most of the world is green. I don't know exactly what the significance of that color is. But what a beautiful sight. And in Exodus 28, verses 17 to 20, the breastplate of the high priest had stones embedded in gold on them. And the first of those stones was sardis, and the last was jasper. And I'm going to read those verses. I just find that very interesting. It's tying scripture together. Exodus 28, verse 17, "And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, every four rows, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, and a gate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl and an onyx and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings." The thought that came to me as I thought about that, the first and the last. He is the first and the last. He's the first stone on that breastplate. He's also the last. He encompasses all. He is everything. It has been suggested that these stones stand for holiness, wrath, and mercy. Around the throne was a rainbow, which speaks of grace, or has been said of grace returning after wrath. Think about the flood, when God used the rainbow to make a covenant with Noah. That was after the wrath of God had come upon the earth. And he made that, put that rainbow in the heavens and made a covenant with Noah there. After the wrath of God, it was grace. You know, and as I think of a rainbow, and we see them time to time in the sky, and it's a reminder of that. But what has Satan done with it? Satan is trying to make an imitation of everything that God is and has made and has used. And he finally come up with a way to pervert the rainbow. When we see the rainbow, let's remember Noah and the covenant that was made there. Let's maybe think about the throne room of God and the rainbow that was there or is there. It does not stand for what Satan wants it to represent. In verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. I don't know exactly who these 24 elders were or are, but they were sitting around the throne, and they had white raiments on and golden crowns. And we will see a little bit later here, they're not the only ones arrayed in white. But they are there, and later on also, we will see that they will bow down, they will fall before the one that sits on the throne. Matthew 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And also in Luke 22:30, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus was talking to the 12 apostles when he was speaking those verses, so I believe 12 of them possibly are going to be the 12 apostles, but again, I'm not trying to figure all this out. I want us to get a picture of the holiness, the reverence that is displayed in that throne room. So I want to read Revelation 3:4 as we think about being clothed in white. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You know, as I think about for they are worthy, he's talking about some of the saints there at the one church. Are we going to be found worthy? Am I going to be found worthy to wear a white garment and to walk with him? How are we found worthy to be faithful, to follow, to deny ourselves, and to follow Christ, to take up our cross and follow him? Let's turn to Revelation 7:9-14. There it talks quite a bit about being clothed in white. This is something for us to look forward to, something for us to be excited about. Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came thou? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I don't think we can. I don't think we can comprehend that. Try to imagine the largest crowd that you've ever been in, and imagine everybody in that crowd shouting at the top of their voice in worship to God, in unison, saying the same thing that was said here in verse 12. I think it would give us goosebumps. We can't imagine what that would be like. Do you want to miss it? I don't. I want to be there. I want to be part of that crowd. Now I realize down there in verse 14 it says that these are the ones that have came out of the tribulation. Are we going to go through the tribulation part way, all the way? I don't know. But if we do, regardless, I want to be there. I want to be dressed in white, worshiping and praising our Savior. They fell before the throne in worship. How often have I come into this place? And I believe this building has been sanctified. It has been set aside for religious purpose to worship God. How often have you come into this place casually? Maybe not really wanting to be here to worship God. Maybe not with the reverence that we should have. He deserves all reverence. He deserves our worship, pure worship. The next five verses I want to read refer to the 24 elders falling down to give praise and worship to God. And they're all in Revelations 4:10, which is one of our verses here in the lesson. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. The crowns we receive, we are not going to keep. We are not going to want to keep them. We're going to want to give them back. We are going to want to cast them before him to worship him, to praise him. Revelation 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Again, they fall down to worship him. They do it repeatedly. Again and again, they worship him. They fall before him. Verse 14 of Revelation 5. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Chapter 7, verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders. And the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Did the angels fall down? Says the four beasts. The angels are there. I believe they're worshiping God today. I don't believe the angels understand exactly our worship to God, because they have not experienced salvation. They have not needed salvation. But they are there witnessing. And the beast here, they did not experience salvation. They were created, and they are there, and they are falling down before God and worshiping him. Revelations 19, verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Again, they fall down and worship God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of gods. They worship him. They fall before him over and over and over again. Does he get tired of us coming before him in prayer, in worship? Absolutely not. We cannot worship him enough. We cannot reverence him enough. Moving on to verse 5, talks about things coming from the throne. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Things that are proceeding out of the throne, lightning and thunderings and voices. Let's go to Exodus 19, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. As the Israelites were around that mountain, and Moses and was up there, can you imagine what that must have been like? To see that mountain covered in a cloud or in smoke, to hear thundering and see lightning, and to know that their leader was up there and that he was meeting with God. They stood back and they trembled. Exodus 20, verse 18 says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." They feared what was going on. They feared God. How often do we see a thunderstorm? We see thunder, or we hear thunder, we see lightning. Do we link it to the power of God? As hopefully the next time I see a thunderstorm, I will think about what is proceeding out of the throne of God and how it's a display of his power and his magnificence, and that he deserves all worship. Job 26:14 says, "Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand it?" You know, scientists will give us a scientific reason what thunder is. When a cold mass of air and a warm mass of air collide, it causes thunder. Well, that might be correct. But I believe that it is thunder because God made it that way. And God has power. He can make those air masses collide and not make a sound if he wants to. So when we hear that thunder, let's think about the power of God. When we see that lightning, I don't know that lightning can be measured in the amount of electricity that's in one lightning bolt. But think about the power of God. And he is displaying, he is showing us his power. Let's move on to verse 6 and 7 here in Revelation 4. "And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." When I think of the sea of glass, I think of the opposite of that. What's the opposite of a sea of glass? How many of you have seen a sea of glass? A body of water that is just as smooth and still as glass. That means there's calm, there's peace, it's quiet. We don't see that very often. Thought of the disciples in the boat in Mark 4. We don't need to turn there. When the storm came and the tremendous waves, the tempestuous sea was round about them. I believe that that is a picture of much turmoil and unrest and turmoil and unrest. But here we see a sea of glass. The disciples there in Mark 4:41, "And they were feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" When Jesus said to be calm, it was calm. I believe it was instantly like a sea of glass. We can have that peace, that calm in our lives when we worship the one true living God. If we are worshiping other things, there will not be peace. There will not be a calm. there will be much turmoil and unrest. So we see a sea of glass here. And four beasts full of eyes before and behind. I believe that speaks into saying that there is not anything that goes by that they don't see. There's nothing that is hidden from them. They see all things. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And I got this from Enduring Word. All of these beasts may be a representation of all of creation, because among the wild, the lion rule. In the jungles, in the safari, the lion is ruling over all the animals there. Among the domesticated beast, the ox is the strongest. The calf, I believe, is the biggest. He is the king of the domesticated world. Among the intellectual, man rules. And among the birds of the air, the fowl, the eagle is one of the most prestigious. So I believe that these beasts are representing all of God's creation, representing each one. Each of these beasts has a kingdom and a certain magnificence, and they are each placed under the throne. All of God's creation is going to fall before him. They are going to bow and worship. Moving on to verse 8, 9, and 10, and I don't want to necessarily put them all together, but they sort of all go together. Here at the end of the chapter, we see the proper kind of worship that God Almighty deserves, and he is going to get it. You know, it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I want to be there willingly, bowing before him. I don't want to be among those that will have to bow the knee. Revelations 4, 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. They rest not day and night. And this is what they're saying. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They repeat that over and over and over, worshiping God. We sang that song this morning in the Green Book number 33. And I maybe wouldn't have thought a lot about it, but I was thinking about tonight. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The angels and these beasts are there singing that worship to God continuously. We can never tell him how much we love him too much. We can never do things that are honoring to God that become repetitious, unless we take away the value of it and are just doing it just because that's what we do. These beasts are worshiping God. They mean what they say. They're not just flippantly saying it. Verse 9, and with those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Let's go on into verse 10 here. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. And when they're doing that, when they're bowing down and they're worshiping him, they're casting their crowns before him, saying in verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Can we imagine Can we understand a little bit the reverence, the worship, the praise, the honor, the glory, the power, the other things that are represented here in this, what John's seeing? I hope that you have a little bit better of a picture in your mind, as I do, of what the throne room is like, what we can experience if we deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Him, are faithful. I just pray that God has been honored and glorified tonight. I pray that you have been challenged and encouraged, that you have maybe a little bit more of an enthusiasm of living a life that brings honor to God, because He deserves all honor, all worship, and praise. Thank you.
Brother Marvin gave us many images, many pictures to think about, and those different stones of always stood out to me, the different colors, and I think about the many times that it speaks of the gates of pearls and different things like that. And yes, our brother's given us much to think about. Shall we stand for closing prayer?